Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. And thank you for your continuing interest in Ultra. Welcome to this presentation of our interim results for the first half of 2021. And we apologise for the short notice on the early publication, but given the Advent Cobham announcement on the 25th of June, which has put us into an offer period, we thought it was important to provide you with details of our stronger than anticipated first half performance, and more importantly, the excellent strategic progress that we're making as soon as possible. For that reason, this will be a slightly longer than usual interim presentation and should last between 35 and 40 minutes. And given that we're in an offer period with a put up or shut up date of the 23rd of July, we're also somewhat limited in our ability to give you any additional information over and above that included in this presentation and in our RNS announcement issued earlier. However, we will still have a short facilitated question and answer session at the end of the presentation. So in the first half of 2021, Ultra continued to make excellent progress with execution of our strategy and transformation delivering ahead of our expectations. We had a strong first half in most areas, despite continuing COVID challenges, and have good momentum into the second half of 2021 and beyond. We're already seeing the benefits of being an agile player with a focused strategy in growing markets and benefiting earlier than we expected. We are at our core a focused applications engineer, rich in technology, which we continue to invest in and which gives us a strong and sustainable advantage. All of which means we're well positioned to continue to deliver our aspiration for above market growth through our robust and increasingly cost-effective business model, which as a result of the transformation program that we launched 18 months ago, is delivering earlier than anticipated and indeed accelerating. And we've achieved all of this through the extraordinary efforts of our great people who have embraced and now own the cultural change that we're going through. They continue to amaze me with their capacity to deliver growth, deal with the disruption of COVID, and still drive transformation in our organization that is already delivering for all of our stakeholders. We're going to split today's presentation into two. The first part, which Jos will take us through, focuses on the strong operational performance and financial outcomes that we've delivered in the first half and the good momentum we have going into H2. Driven by our record order book and very strong order cover, our improved and better than anticipated operating margin, coupled with another half of excellent cash conversion, and our growing return on invested capital and strong balance sheet, all of which support our future growth, as well as an increased dividend under our progressive dividend policy. I'll then spend some time explaining how our strategy and transformation are delivering ahead of our expectations, as we're already benefiting from the focus and our agility in markets that remain robust despite administration change in the US, and because our significant investment in our technology base and a more customer-focused and collaborative approach is driving a growing pipeline of opportunity. And then Jos will provide you with some detail on the excellent progress we're making on our Focus, Fix, Grow transformation program, which is already delivering ahead of plan and has greater potential than we originally anticipated with a better payback. Jos will also talk about how we will be deploying the transformation benefits through increasing our technology investment and improving our cost competitiveness, and how our strategy, cultural change, and transformation is delivering not just for our customers and shareholders, but for all of Ultra's stakeholders. And this is why we have increasing confidence delivering our previously stated aspiration for above target market growth and sustainable margin progression, and that there is much more to come from Ultra. So, Jos, over to you to take us through our really strong first half of 2021.
Thank you, Simon. Today, we publish yet another strong set of results, which demonstrate that our One Ultra strategy and our focused fixed growth transformation is delivering. Our future growth is underpinned by a large order book of £1.3 billion, up over 14% organically on the prior year, despite a sharp decline in commercial aerospace orders. Revenue growth was good, with sales of £404.5 million, up 4.7% organically. Underlying operating profit of £62.2 million was over 25% higher organically than the first half of 2020. Margin was 15.4%, exceeding our expectations. Margin was supported by the following. We're already seeing benefits from our focus, fix, grow transformation, particularly as a result of continuous improvement, our HR and finance excellence initiatives, and our ongoing site consolidation program. Our intelligence and communications SBU had a very strong start. Indirect costs remain low due to COVID-19, driven changes in ways of working. And internal R&D spend increased by 2.6% organically, but was broadly maintained at 3.4% of revenue year on year. That was less than we expected due to more value disciplined oversight and engineering demand in support of operational improvement and growth. During the half, we spent £4.3 million on transformation related expenses, all taken above the line as normal. We also invested £3.9 million of CapEx on transformation. Most projects are now firmly into the execution phase, and during the half, we saw benefits of over £3 million. This gives us great confidence that we can support our margin aspiration over the medium term. I'll talk more about transformation benefits and costs later. Underlying profit before tax increased by 18% to £56.5 million, despite some FX headwinds. EPS increased 19.2% to 65.2 pence per share. Statutory profit before tax increased by 55%. In the interest of time, I'll not take you through the walk from underlying PBT to statutory, but you can find it in the appendix. As usual, we did not have many adjusting items. Underlying operating cash conversion for the half was 96%, supported by strong advance payments. ROIC continues to improve, with ROIC of 21.3% at the end of the half. This again demonstrates our ability to generate good returns on every pound we invest in the business. Our maritime technology continues to drive demand, with the order book growing 13.9% organically. Our naval systems business had good orders from the US Navy for next generation surface search radar and the Nixie torpedo countermeasure systems. Sonoboy orders were also strong. Organic revenue increased by 6.6% to 183.1 million. Reflecting good sales of Mark 54 torpedo arrays, US Sonoboys, and delivery of torpedo defense systems for the Indian Navy, partly offset by COVID-related disruption to some of our programs and some of our repair and overhaul business, both of which we expect to be temporary. Underlying operating profit increased 8.9% organically to £26.9 million. Margins increased slightly to 14.7%, with some improved operational gearing in our naval systems business and good control of indirect costs, helped, of course, by continued travel restrictions. The margin impact of the operational issues that we talked about in our May trading update were broadly offset by risk reduction on some of our programs as we made progress during the half. Maritime has a strong order book and has made progress resolving its operational issues. So we expect good year-on-year organic revenue growth in 2021. In intelligence and communications, the order book grew by nearly 50% year-on-year, reaching a book-to-bill ratio of 1.7 times. And that could easily have been even higher, but for a few important orders which slipped into the second half. The order book was driven by strong demand for radios from the US Marines, Navy, and Army, and good demand for our specialist RF solutions for radar warning receivers and systems. Orders in cyber were weaker, but our cyber business is making excellent strategic progress. There's some important orders for crypto key management and good progress working towards an important contract for crypto products, which we hope to sign in the second half. Sales were up 9.1% organically to £116 million, with very strong sales of radios and good sales of cyber and specialist RF solutions. Underlying operating profit increased organically by 72.7%, reflecting both the increased sales and significant margin expansion. Margins increased largely as a result of operational gearing from very strong sales of radios, good mix in our communications business, and improved operational performance in both our cyber and specialist RF businesses. In the second half, we expect the mix in our communications business to be less favourable and expect R&D, sales and transformation costs to be a bit higher than in the first half. Looking at the 2021 full year, the strong first half and healthy order book is expected to enable good organic revenue growth year on year. In critical detection and control, the order book declined 7.3% organically as a result of the downturn in commercial aerospace. Nonetheless, in precision control systems, we saw good demand on F-35, Typhoon, and for our new product line of dynamic high-altitude interconnect systems. In forensics, the order book grew by 50% organically, reflecting the outstanding solutions it provides its customers to help solve gun crime, innovative cloud-based technology, supported by strong sales and marketing, and a robust business model. Organic revenue decreased by 2.7% due to the commercial aerospace decline, but organic revenue in forensics grew by 22%, driven by IBIS product deliveries in Peru, the US, and Thailand. Sales increased in energy, and PCS proved to be remarkably resilient. Underlying operating profit increased organically by 17.3% to 16.3 million, with margin expanding to 15.5%. This reflects improved operating leverage and good cost control in both forensics and energy, partly offset by falling commercial aerospace sales, impacting operational gearing and mix in PCS. Looking forward, we expect organic revenue in critical detection and control to be resilient, leading to flattish year-on-year growth, with the downturn in commercial aerospace offset by additional military sales and the excellent momentum in forensics. Turning to underlying operating cash flow. During the first half, working capital terms improved again, with a capital inflow of £6.1 million. This was helped by a significant increase in customer advances, some of which we expect to unwind in the second half. We made progress reducing inventory days during the first half, with increased focus on this area, partly offset by inventory build-up in response to a tight supply chain. Tight discipline on capital expenditure and some projects moving out of the half resulted in capital expenditure of only £13.6 million. Overall, underlying operating cash conversion was 96%. Free cash flow of £49.5 million was up £3.4 million on the prior year, reflecting the improved operating cash flow, partly offset by higher cash tax payments. As a reminder, cash tax was abnormally low in the first half of 2020 due to short-term COVID-related deferrals. As a reminder, free cash flow includes lease payments. Net debt, including pensions and lease liabilities, reduced to £105 million, down £70 million over the year. The UK pension deficit on an IAS 19 basis reduced by £30.3 million to only £39.6 million, down sharply as a result of decreasing liabilities because of rising bond yields and strong asset performance. Net debt on a covenant basis decreased to £29 million, with a leverage ratio of 0.19 times. We have declared that the dividend be increased by 5.2% to 16.2 pence per share, supported by our strong earnings and cash flow growth. Given the balance sheet strength, we have capacity for both a progressive dividend and further investment into the business. By the end of this year, we expect to be in a net cash position before lease liabilities and a declining and relatively small pension deficit. So it's perhaps worth a reminder on our capital allocation model. We remain focused on driving organic growth through investment in R&D and sales capability. In addition, we are increasingly confident that we can use our transformation levers, which I'll talk more about later, to create value from acquisitions, but only if we find acquisitions which support our technology roadmaps and which will generate good returns for shareholders. Free cash flow is expected to remain strong, supporting a progressive dividend. And if we're unable to deploy excess capital in a value-creating way, we will return it to shareholders so as to keep within our preferred long-term range of 1.5 to 2.5 times net debt to EBITDA. At the Capital Markets Day, shortly after I arrived at Ultra, I talked about our focus on return on invested capital. As the graph at the top left of this slide shows, we've made good progress increasing return on invested capital. The graph on the right is also interesting. It shows our return on operating capital, which is the return of the underlying businesses, ignoring intangible assets created on acquisition. As you can see, our businesses generate returns on operating capital of around 60%, which gives us confidence that we can grow organically whilst generating good free cash flow. We need good people to grow, but not much capital. The graphs at the bottom of the chart show how strong our cash flow has been and how we've been able to increase the dividend each year as a result, even in the face of COVID. Looking forward, Ultra has real momentum and it's well positioned to deliver on our aspiration of above market growth. We expect to exit the year with a strong order book. Given the good start to the year, we expect improving year-on-year revenue growth driven by Maritime and I&C, with CD&C flattish. We continue to be vigilant on spending transformation costs efficiently, so now expect costs to be between £9 million and £11 million. During the second half, we expect to increase our investment on R&D compared to the first half, with full-year R&D spend likely to be around 3.8 to 4% of revenue. We expect our strong return on capital to continue in the second half. And for the full year, we see cash conversion of 85 to 95%, with second half cash flow impacted by the unwind of some advance payments. Following some good work on tax, we now expect our book tax rate for the year to be 18% and cash tax to be less than 10%. Many countries provide tax incentives for R&D, which helps our competitiveness. So to sum up, the first half results demonstrate the power of our One Ultra strategy and focused fixed growth transformation. With the order book, revenue, profit and margin all growing, as a result, we remain very optimistic about the full year and beyond.
Thanks, Jos. So whilst I'm really pleased with the financial performance in the first half, I'm actually almost more excited by the progress that we're seeing from effective implementation of our strategy and our focus, fixed, growing transformation, which are both delivering ahead of our expectations. We're already benefiting earlier than anticipated from agility as a technology-driven solutions provider, demonstrating that we can respond rapidly to changing market and customer needs and growing market share as a result. On this chart on the left-hand side, let me give you a couple of examples to highlight what I mean. In 2018, we were working on solving a customer proximity problem. By the end of June 2021, we've converted that to a $40 million of service search radar in our order and off order book. Similarly, in 2018, we only did active torpedo countermeasures. But building on our underwater acoustics and data processing expertise, we now have a passive torpedo countermeasure order and off-order book of nearly $100 million. And in our critical detection and control forensics business, from nothing in 2018, we've responded to customers' connectivity and access needs to develop a cloud-based ballistics data correlation engine. And we're sitting with an order and off-order book of in excess of $25 million on that opportunity as well. We're also benefiting from engaging directly with customers and users at a more strategic level to design better solutions and to develop better system and subsystem specifications rather than just to sell product. A good example of this is our development and specification of the anti-submarine warfare systems on Australia's Hunter-class future frigate, the C-5000, which will replace all their Anzac-class frigates over time. And this is only possible because of the nearly 40% of our over 4,600 employees who are engineers. And this includes nearly 300 software engineers, which is indicative of our technology evolution. And over 35% of our revenue is now generated from sales directly to the user. And we're also platform and system agnostic, with our solutions being deployed on more than 300 programs of record, supporting virtually every platform and systems prime across the Five Eyes nations. And these are just a few examples of the benefits that we're seeing as we continue to pivot from an aggregation of small, generally product businesses to a collaborative but nimble, technology-rich, innovative solutions provider. And we continue to operate in robust markets with good growth rates, which, given the external commentary on defence cycles and affordability, we've decided to update for you. And I suppose the first thing to say is that whilst defence spending has historically been cyclical, the large falls in defence spend are driven by a reduction in major conflict and drawdowns, such as Korea, Vietnam, and the Gulf War, not by macroeconomics. And we don't see any major drawdown happening in the next 5 years. In the US, our largest market, we also now have visibility on the new administration's view that longer-term defense spending will likely be flat in real terms, which is broadly in line with that anticipated under the prior regime. And indeed, the president's fiscal year 22 budget ask was within 1% of that used when we last commented on segment growth. As a result, we don't really see any material change in broader defence spending over the next 5 years, although we do anticipate changes in how and where that budget will be deployed. And with this as background, we now think that maritime will continue to see good growth of between 2 and 4%. And that's despite 2020 being a year of unusually strong budget demand for sonar buoys. This is due to the continuing rise in increased capability of near-peer maritime power, with Five Eyes and other navies recapitalizing, particularly in the North Atlantic and the Western Pacific and South China Sea in response. The increasing focus on developing more and complementary unmanned capability, particularly where size, weight, and power is concerned, is also particularly important as a continuing growth catalyst in the maritime markets in which we play. In intelligence and comms, whilst we've kept our market growth expectations at between 3 and 5%, if anything, it's probably ticking up a bit, driven mainly by the increasing shift towards countering adversaries through multi-domain operations, which is reshaping the battle space of the future. Customers are focused more on unification of disparate systems and on providing near instantaneous situational awareness and secure communications for the warfighter as part of defending against any conflict and particularly grey zone conflicts. And finally, whilst we've also kept growth in our critical detection and control markets at between 2 and 4%, with military aerospace demands strong and commercial aerospace build rates slowly beginning to show signs of life, the continuing increase in gun crime globally, combined with the recognition of the importance of nuclear as part of a sustainable and renewable power generation policy, means that these growth rates are probably conservative. So in summary, no real change and potentially a bit of upside within the segments of the markets which we focus on, all of which continue to demonstrate good underlying growth. So with our market segments showing that good underlying growth over the next 5 years, why are we so confident that we'll outperform? Well, it's all about our unique technology base, where and how we're investing, and the opportunity through greater internal collaboration, both internally and with our users and customers, which is already driving significant pipeline expansion. We already have a sustainable technology advantage at Ultra, which supports that growth ambition. And I apologize for the simplicity of this chart, but I think sometimes we fail to appreciate that every year in Ultra, we spend between 15 and 20% of revenue on a combination of customer and internally funded research and development. As this chart shows, cumulatively, therefore, it means that just in the last 5 years alone, we've invested over 750 million in developing background and foreground intellectual property. And we've invested in the right places with our technology almost uniquely positioned to help our customers address some of their most pressing challenges. And I apologize for the complicated nature of this chart, but building from the left, under our technology, this is what we've been investing in, and these are Ultra's core foundational technologies that we are building from today. This core IP is the base for the next column over, and these are the key competencies that we're demonstrating and working on in the solutions that we are developing for customers today. And these include things like high-performance mission-optimized software, interoperable and scalable situational awareness, and software-defined systems. More importantly, as we engage with our customers more strategically, it's clear that the rapidly evolving nature of the threats they face requires an accelerated technology change to allow them to develop and field solutions more rapidly for threats, some of which don't even exist yet. And these solutions will need to be interoperable and potentially even interchangeable in a way that enables rapid insertion into a cognitive multi-domain data fabric to deliver decision advantage. We're therefore changing how we invest in selected areas that will be needed across many of these future solutions. Our Chief Technology Officer, Andrew Puryear, is therefore ensuring that our research and development in the yellow boxes, areas such as artificial intelligence and machine learning, in data science, user interface and user experience, and embedded edge computing, is focused on developing modular platforms that can be rapidly customized across our group, that are designed to be scalable and to allow the addition of new capabilities and functions, and are architected in such a way that the IP can be selected and combined in various different structures and alternatives to satisfy specific customer challenges. This positions us really well to more rapidly develop and field next generation solutions, such as those in the last column, headed, unsurprisingly, next generation solutions, to meet the customer priority needs, such as near peer threats, doing more with less, countering asymmetric threats and accelerating detect deploy, which are in the circles on the far right of the chart. And I hope this chart demonstrates just how well our core IP and competencies are positioned and how we are targeting and managing our internal R&D to better focus on addressing customers' future priorities more rapidly, more cost-effectively, and with lower risk to both us and to the user. We're also investing in additional growth accelerators to enhance agility, support better innovation, drive greater technology alignment, and improve access and utilization of particular cross-group expertise. In 2021, we set up and began investing in Ultra Labs under Andrew, which is already proving successful, both as a concentrator of subject matter excellence across the group, focused on a number of foundational technologies that are applicable and can be deployed across our numerous OBUs and SBUs. It's proving successful as a developer and incubator of cross-SBU modular capability designed for rapid deployment across all our offerings, such as those I referred to earlier. It's been excellent at helping engage with and access funding from the more advanced research customers that we deal with, such as the Defence Advanced Research Projects Agency. And finally, as an accelerator of cross-SBU innovation and multi-mission solutions that utilise novel capabilities from across the whole group. Ultralabs is also developing concepts to improve the efficiency of our solution development, such as the Ultra Software Factory, which is in late stage planning and is scheduled to be launched later this year, where we're aiming to create a virtual, specialist and flexible capability, delivering reliable, secure and efficient software engineering at optimized cost for both Ultra and our customers. And these are some of the technology accelerators that we're investing in, which support accelerated future growth and increase our differentiation and further enhance our ability to meet customer needs. And here's the evidence that this technology and our focused and collaborative approach to developing and deploying it across solving customer problems is working. It's driving a strong and growing sales funnel. We don't normally share this with you, but as part of our more coordinated and performance-focused sales process, we now track individual opportunities up to 10 years out. We're currently actively monitoring over £12 billion of order potential. And these are specific programs and opportunities we've extracted from our CRM systems where we believe we have a greater than 50% P-win. And this has been growing materially over the last couple of years and grew a further 6% half on half, well above our underlying market growth. And almost more importantly, the level of strategic engagement we're now developing with our customers is driving greater conversion confidence. And those opportunities with a P-win of over 90% has grown by nearly 20% over the last year, driving greater confidence and better visibility on our long-term revenue growth opportunity. And our technology and approach isn't just increasing our sales pipeline and conversion certainty, it's also driving a strong order book growth today, which is up nearly 50% in the past 5 years and now stands, as Jos has mentioned, at 1.3 billion at the end of the first half, which is a record for the group. It is also driving our off-order book position. These are expected call-off and exercise of options within existing contracts and programs, which stands at an additional 2.3 billion and has grown threefold over the last 5 years, all of which provides greater visibility and certainty on our future revenue growth opportunity. And finally, our One Ultra focus and our facilitated collaboration increases our opportunity for additional future growth through combining our unique technologies in ways that allow us to address more of our customers' emerging needs and expand our position on programs and platforms. Using our offering and content on the UK's Type 26 frigate and its subsequent variants as an example, let me try and show you what I mean. So building on our UK sonar product expertise, we supply the hull-mounted sonar on the original UK Type 26. Through accessing capability from the three other maritime OBUs, we've expanded our position to become the integrated full anti-submarine warfare subsystems specifier on the Canadian variant known as the Canadian Surface Combatant. And by further integrating the technology and capability of all our OBUs, we have the potential to further expand into being a multi-subsystems provider on all future variants of the Type 26. This is what I mean by One Ultra creating more opportunity, combining our capability to become a multi-subsystem provider that gives us potential for significantly greater content on many more platforms. But it isn't just on individual platforms where we have expansion potential. Customer priorities continue to drive the need for an intelligent data fabric to share intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance data transmitted across many different communication networks and through multi-domains and to multi-platforms to enable faster and effective decision-making. We already have significant mission, platform, and cross-domain expertise, with multiple scalable subsystem solutions already deployed, such as ADSI, Orion, REAP Compods, and Interoperable Crypto. Through further coordinated investment, we're working to develop and enhance these subsystems to allow us to provide greater connectivity, integration, and cognition to develop operational insights and facilitate sophisticated human-machine teaming and rapid and accurate response. In short, as I hope this chart illustrates, when you knit our technologies together, Ultra has the potential to be a key partner in addressing customers' increasing demands for real joint all-domain command and control. And hopefully, this gives you a flavour of how our focused strategy, built around being a collaborative but nimble, technology-rich, innovative solutions provider, is already delivering strong revenue growth with plenty of potential and gives us confidence in our above-market growth aspirations. Now let me hand you back to Jos, who will take you through the progress we're making and the increased potential we're seeing from our Focus Fix Grow transformation program.
Thank you, Simon. Turning to transformation, we see transformation as a virtuous circle. It will improve operating performance and efficiency, reduce program overruns, and lower costs. That provides us with the financial resources to further strengthen our technology capability. In addition, by improving our engineering efficiency, we can deliver more revenue from our valuable engineering capability. And our success is already helping attract and retain talent. Lastly, we expect our increasingly competitive cost base and improved technology and sales capability to drive further sustainable growth and value creation. The transformation reached a higher gear in the first half of 2021, with the organization demonstrating that it supports the change and has the ability and capacity to execute. We've summarized progress in detail in the RNS, so I'll pull out just a few highlights here. Our PCS business is well on the way to consolidating its two UK manufacturing sites into one, which will significantly increase revenue per square foot in our Cheltenham facility and reduce costs with an estimated 3-year cash payback. We have built a strong internal continuous improvement team and culture. The Ultra Way system of continuous improvement has been wholeheartedly embraced by the organization, and we're already seeing meaningful benefits. We have changed the operating model to better support customers and drive our transformation faster. This has included moving to a category management structure for procurement and appointing experienced category managers. As we have improved data quality and insight, we are seeing immediate opportunities. For example, a supplier of electronic components has been treating Ultra as 30 separate customer accounts with no recognition of our global spend. Elsewhere, one component is being purchased by 5 business units at different prices with a variance of 13% between the highest and lowest price. During the half, we also implemented new group standard bid, sales, HR, and financial processes, supported by the recent go-live of our new HR system and finance consolidation system. Both of those projects were on time and to budget. We have done a lot of work with our people to identify where we're coming from and where we want to go to from a cultural perspective. We now feel that we have real buy-in to move from a collection of small, unconnected businesses with unclear strategies and objectives, strong functional silos, and poor employee engagement, to one organization with a common purpose and shared values, much improved employee engagement, a stronger employee brand, and collaborative, focused, and empowered people who are all helping to identify our transformation opportunities from the ground up. As this slide shows, we expect £57 million of net recurring transformation benefits in 2024, £61 million of benefits, offset by £4 million of depreciation. The table sets out the expected in-year impact of the transformation programme on underlying operating profit and the one-off costs of implementation, using 2020 as the base year. The cost savings and cost efficiency line items are pretty self-explanatory and are described in more detail in the RNS. The gross profit line primarily relates to our programme to increase engineering efficiency, which will enable us to increase gross profit by improving engineering utilisation rates to generate additional revenue from our demand backlog. Given that we're in an offer period, these numbers have been reported on by KPMG through a quantified financial benefit statement. That process, whilst onerous, does give us further confidence in the costs and benefits. The benefits underpin our view that we can grow Ultra above the market and improve margins. To this end, we intend to use the transformation benefits to increase R&D, win more bids by having a more competitive cost base, and contribute to margin improvement. In addition to cash flow generated by the expected recurring benefits, we anticipate that over the period of the transformation programme, we will generate a total cash release through the improvement in working capital management of £14 million, based on the position as at 31 December 2020. Our vision in Ultra is to innovate today for a safer tomorrow. We feel strongly that this is positive for the societies that we live in. We help protect our societies from invasion and preserve democracy. And we're helping lead the global fight against gun crime. We've always run Ultra for the benefit of all of our stakeholders and set KPIs to measure progress against our stakeholder goals at the beginning of our Focus, Fix, Grow transformation. More recently, we developed our A Positive Change sustainability plan that focuses on three critical areas: supporting our people, increasing employee engagement, reducing voluntary turnover, and improving diversity and inclusion. Protecting our planet, meeting or exceeding GHG emission targets, reducing single-use plastic, and global alignment of our facilities to an environmental management ISO standards. And giving back to our local communities, group charitable funding, employee community days, and importantly, supporting our armed forces communities. Ultra is primarily an engineering business with some assembly, so it has a low impact on the environment, but a big impact on protecting our societies. It's for that reason that I, for one, am proud to work for this company. I'll now hand back to Simon for the summary.
Thank you, Joss. Hopefully this presentation has helped you understand why we and the board are pleased with the progress we're making in demonstrating and indeed delivering Ultra's potential. Effective execution of our strategy and transformation is delivering ahead of our expectations. As a result, we had a strong first half and continue to generate good momentum. We're increasingly acting as an agile player with our focused strategy in growing markets, and this is delivering results earlier than expected. We are uniquely positioned and continue to invest in enhancing our sustainable technology advantage, which is closely aligned with providing customers with solutions for their emerging and rapidly evolving priority problems, all of which means we are well positioned to deliver above market growth. With a robust and increasingly cost-effective business model, the right team, and the significant financial capacity to supplement our organic growth. And finally, a transformation program which is delivering operational performance, more competitive pricing, increased investment in R&D, and great and talented people who are collaborating closely together to drive revenue opportunity. At Ultra, we're making good progress on many fronts. We have great people who are passionate about what they do, and our focused strategy and improved execution is providing us with increased confidence that this business has a unique opportunity to deliver above market growth, to meet our aspiration of delivering sustainable mid-teens margins, and to deliver excellent value for all of our stakeholders. With that, I'll now hand back to Tamsin, who will facilitate a short Q&A session.
And we have a question from Richard Page from Numis. Richard, go ahead and ask your question.
Morning all. Thank you for the presentation. A couple of questions from me, if I may, please. I'm intrigued by the level of detail around the sort of win percentage in the pipeline, and just particularly the number, the 19.5% organic growth in the greater than 90% win rate percentage. Just interested to understand how that's been influenced by your movements or where you are versus where the market is moving in the right directions for you. A second one on just on the transformation costs. If I strip out the transformation costs, which I know you're taking above the line, that's a 16.4% margin in the first half. Just obviously knowing that these are going to continue to be a bit of a drag on the margin in the next couple of years, but just ensure that there's nothing beyond that that will be influencing the margin in terms of cost. New costs won't come in. And just a general comment about that 16.4% margin, please. And one last one, if I may, sort of the Ultra Labs, just intrigued how you form that. Is that, have you taken people out of the individual business units to form that, or is it largely recruiting new people into the business, please?
Thanks, Richard. Look, I'll try and answer your first and third questions. Joss will pick up your questions about transformation and margin to the extent possible, given that we are in an offer period. But just on the the level of detail we're giving around pipeline and off order book and PWIN and all that sort of stuff, it's not that we've done this for this particular interim. It's because we just wanted to provide evidence of the pace at which our focused strategy and One Ultra approach is delivering opportunity and increased certainty to that target of above market growth that I keep referring to. These are actually extracts from all our processes and systems that we use to monitor and manage our marketing and sales performance. And I think it's two things that are driving both that growing pipeline and our positioning with our customers. Firstly, our technology suite is pretty unique and particularly well suited to the whole joint all domain command and control requirements that increasingly everybody needs. And the way that we are investing and continue to invest in aspects of that technology means we can increase our ability to satisfy the customer's needs by doing things better together. There's also an increased demand from customers for the sorts of things we do. So when we talk about, you know, us being having technologies and capabilities in the right priority areas, that's what we're referring to. So I'd say it's a combination of customer need and our unique technology that's driving that future. And I'll just take the Ultra Labs one quickly now. Ultra Labs is a combination. It's a virtual organization, and has its own budget, independently managed and overseen by Andrew, who reports to me. It is a mix of external capability that we have hired in specific areas of technology that we don't have internally today, like artificial intelligence, data science. It's also an aggregation of relationships that we have with academic institutions, where we are funding and sponsoring more basic TRL 1 and 2 academic work with those institutions. And also, it's our own people who are being taken out of their old jobs to focus much more on some of the collaboration and cross-SBU opportunities that I've alluded to that Ultra Labs is driving and delivering, and better engagement with the forward-thinking institutions within our customers like DARP. Transformation and margin, Joss?
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't give any guidance on margin because we're in an offer period. I mean, a few things though that perhaps I can point out. The H1 margin has been helped a bit by lower indirect costs from COVID. We've mentioned that in the RNS. I think it's probably helping us to a tailwind of about 0.8 million a month. Eventually, some of that we would expect to normalize, maybe perhaps half of it. We actually expected that to happen this half, but because COVID's taken a bit longer than we're expecting, travel is still extremely low. So I don't think the first half is a representative baseline. I think some of that 0.8 million will come back in eventually as our sales guys get on the road. In terms of sort of, is there anything you're missing on margin going forwards? We've tried to be helpful by pointing out that we don't expect all of transformation to affect margin. We've got those kind of three buckets because we've always said that some of it we want to invest back into R&D, and we want to do that because we generate good returns on capital. We think if we can drive the revenue line, that will generate real value for our shareholders. Some of it, as we've said on the slide, will drop through to margin. Some of it will go into being more cost competitive. And I think one thing to think about in there is that we are seeing inflation in the market. And I think some of that actually in the way our contracts are passed through in fixed price contracts, but not all of our contracts. So I think we will perhaps see some inflation. I don't know exactly how long for. There's quite a lot of people talking about it's temporary and maybe just this year. As at right now, I think we are seeing a bit of inflation come through in the supply chain and on wages.
I think the main thing, Richard, for me, is the message around transformation is it's ahead of plan, going well. There's probably a bit more opportunity than we originally thought there, as I think that Joss's numbers demonstrate. But remember that we were pretty clear on what we're going to use those transformation benefits for. A chunk of it will be to drive further investment in IR&D, which has been a theme throughout this presentation. A chunk of it will reduce our cost base, which means we're more cost effective. And both of those things drive top line more than margin. But of course, some of it will ultimately drop through to margin. But there are, of course, also those headwinds that Joss has talked about, which will impact margin as well.
And that's the end of questions. Simon, do you have any closing remarks?
No, other than, again, apologies for the short notice on the publication of our interims. But hopefully you thought the session was worthwhile, and enjoy the rest of this lovely summer day.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.